Let's go to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Let's look at Matthew 11, chapter 9. Looking at one of the things that we don't spend a lot of time on, at least I haven't spent a lot of time on from 32, is discipleship. And discipleship is what churches that really grow do a lot of. Either they do a lot of discipleship or they do a lot of different other things. Whatever they do to get people to be interested. I used to be a really hardliner on churches that have a lot of programs, churches that have a lot of this. And really, I was preaching what I was taught to preach. Now I know why churches have a lot of programs and why they have different things. Because they draw people. Well, I've always known they drew people. Somehow or another, we were taught that Aaron, you can go in the back today. That's fine. Go back over to Nance and Zara. That's fine. Somehow, I knew that they drew people. But it always been taught that when the people get there, they're not learning anything about Jesus. That's not true. We were always learning that when people came because you have an after-school program or you have a mental health program or various things, that they're just coming to the church for the programs. Well, some people are going to always come just for the fishes and the loaves. You're going to always have some people that the only reason why they're in God's, the only reason why they come to church is for the blessing. But it's worth it because out of all the people who come, some of them will meet Christ if you're giving Christ. It's worth it because out of all the people who may come, Paul, please tell them to turn on some lights back there. Don't sit in the dark. It's worth it to have functions and things go on, programs go on in the local church. And I don't want anybody to get this. There's something else I learned too. It does no good for all the people who say to pack themselves up every week and go someplace else and have church. That's not what I'm talking about. We just keep meeting in place. The same people every week. Not adding anybody new. No new saints. Nothing new. Just the same people go move from city to city and have church. That's like having a tent meeting. A traveling meeting. But I've come to find out that when I look at Jesus and the different things that Jesus did in order for people to follow him, one thing he did was fed them. And he healed them. And he moved by the power of God. But he also appealed to their carnal side because he fed them. And he spent time with them. And, Jesus never went down to the red light district. The Bible doesn't say Jesus ever went down to the red light district or anything like that. There's some places that, unless you are Philip and you're just translated, there by the Holy Spirit, you just shouldn't go. Yeah. Even if you say, well, I'm going to preach Christ. Nobody's going to listen to you preach Christ on a strip bar. What are you going up in there? So Jesus didn't go some places he didn't go. But when he did go, he went in power. And he went because it was the will of God that he would go. So we are woefully lacking in discipleship. And Discipleship is teaching people to love Jesus, teaching people to love the way of God. We're big on teaching people to want to be blessed. We spend a lot of time teaching people to want to be blessed. And having Christ is a blessing. And that's something that you learn in discipleship, and something that you learn. Disciples are followers. To call a disciple is a follower. Damascus, you got a Bible out for this? We're in Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew 7, Matthew. Matthew 11, chapter. Disciples are followers. Everybody say disciples are what?
Followers.
If you're a disciple of something, and we use the word a discipline. You know, I know most of us don't even know the word discipline when it comes to beating somebody or spanking somebody. I'm a discipline. No, a discipline. That means that you learn to follow guidelines and certain things. And our discipline really is the will of God. Matter of fact, when we talk about John, and when you read the Bible enough, when you read the Bible enough to be able to interchange what the Bible is saying in different places in the Bible, and this is what John is saying when he says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's saying, this is who we follow. This is the discipline that we have. So when we have people come to our churches, in my experience in the last 30 years, we don't spend a lot of time in discipleship. We spend a lot of time in trying to get them to get gifts. Nothing wrong with having gifts. Everybody should have them. Wish more people had them. Wish my gifts were stronger. We should all do that. It should be a desire. But at some point in time, it is needful to teach people about Christ and to love Christ. Why don't people spend more time with Christ, and why is it so hard holding on to them? They don't know him. And they don't, and when you don't know Christ as well as you think you do, they don't know him, pure and simple. They know about him, and they have experienced his power because God has healed them from time to time. They've experienced his blessings because God has blessed them from time to time, and so forth and so on. But their faith is no stronger than they know Christ.
That's true.
Faith is no stronger. You can't have strong faith in what you don't know about. For example, Damascus, how much faith do you have in that the stock market is going to rise tomorrow? Why don't you have any faith in that? You don't know how much about it. Some people do, though. I'm not one of them. You see my point? You don't have any more faith in God than you know about him. And so we look at people, and then in the church that I come out, in the organization I'm in, we rebuke people for not, why don't they do more in God? Because they don't know God any more than that. Why don't they? They don't know God that well. Yeah, like I'm coming up, they know you. And they know how you will rebuke them if they don't show up.
Yes, sir.
And they know how you will get the mic and get in front of the people and embarrass them if they don't come. They know you. And when they get tired of you, you know what they stop doing?
Coming.
Stop coming. But you see, when they learn Christ, they find out in him is light and no darkness at all. They start to find out that the way of the Lord is right. You're in Matthew 11 chapter?
Yes.
So Jesus talks to the people, and guess what is the gamble? Guess what the people are tired of? The temple. They're tired of the temple. Tired of hearing about the law. Tired of hearing about Moses. There they are. Yeah, they are. They're tired of it. Because the Pharisees and the people who run the temple, they got them washing their hands over and over again about to rush the skin off. They got them, and then when we read in Romans, I'm not going today because I want to stay where I am. And then when you read in Romans, you start to find out that Jesus tells them in one place, he says, you people are like white sepulchers. You're like graves. He says, you're real pretty on the top, on the outside, you're painted white, but on the inside, he says, you're just as nasty as you can be. And the people see that. He says, "Oh, ye hypocrites." When he comes, when Jesus comes, until Jesus comes, John, until Jesus comes, the people in the temple look like the holiest people on earth. Because everyone else is walking in darkness. So whatever they do looks like, man, gotta be God. Until Jesus comes. And when Jesus comes, the light comes on. It's like when you start reading your Bible and start learning about God, and when you have someone who's really preaching and teaching the Word of God, you know, and for the purity of God and not for the sake of their organization or this or that or the other, the light starts coming on. And when Jesus shows up, he shows their darkness. He shows that while they are preaching, while they're teaching, know the law, love the law, they're not keeping the law themselves. That's why in Romans, Paul writes, "Thou art an inexcusable, O man, to judge it. And if thou judgest another, thou do the same thing." And Jesus says unto them that, you know, he tells them to stop judging, "Judge ye not, then that ye judge, ye shall be judged." He says, you need to stop calling the people all these names, he says, because you're doing the same thing. In other words, he says, you're not worthy to talk about anybody else. You're just as bad as they are. So when Jesus comes along in Matthew 11 chapter, when you read the preceding portion of it, he really, for the first time ever, seemingly, he really cries out, tells them, "Woe unto you, Chorazin, and woe unto you, all these cities." He says, whenever the light comes and whenever the word of God is given, he says, you don't want to hear it. You want to stay just like you are. He says, you don't want to hear it. He says, you like it when the word of God can be preached. I call it an abstract. You know what an abstract message is, Tekoa? It's like when the gospel is preached and we preach about the woman at the well, but we never make you be her. Or we preach about the man in the tombs, but you never come to it that you're just like that. We preach the word of God so that you can enjoy the sermon, but it doesn't cause you to make any change in your own life. It's an abstract. It's just kind of out there, and you can enjoy it and love it, but it doesn't bring any improvement to you and God. It doesn't make you love God anymore. So Jesus looks at them at the time, and they've got all these different things that they insist you do. You know, they didn't like it because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. What they were really envious of was that they couldn't heal at all, because they crucified Jesus because of envy.
Right.
They were envious of his power, envious of his position in God, envious of him being the Son of God. We don't have anybody who's being killed for envy.
No.
I don't know anyone who has enough power that there's enough envy in them for anybody to kill them. Or to do anything else to them, for that matter. Most of the things that come in our lives, we bring ourselves. And people don't like to hear that either. But if you don't like to be aware that you bring most of the things in your life yourself, you will never clean them up. You'll always blame something else. So Jesus, I mean, the temple people, they make it so hard for the people to live godly. They make it hard for them just to keep the law, because money's always involved. If you got enough money, you don't have to keep the law. It's not where in the United States now. If you have enough money, you can kill people. Doesn't matter. You get away with it. You could be a child sex abuser. Got enough money? No problem. Your friend be the president. Because he got enough money, he gets away with it.
Yeah.
Anything his friends have done, got away with it, so is he. Then you have all these things going on in their time, and the people don't want to be bothered with God. Make that even worse, they're under Roman occupation. You know, they got, you know, something is going, you know, they're under Roman occupation. The Romans are harsh dictators, things are bad. And their deliverance is because they don't have God. Now, if you want to look at the Roman occupation during the time Jesus comes, look at sin. When you're under the bondage of sin, life is hard. Even if you have money, sin is still there. And even among the Jewish people who had money, even the people who were in the temple, who were leaders, they were still in their own occupation. You know, their life is better than some other people, but still. And it's like that now. You can have all the money you want, but if you're in sin, your life is better than a lot of people, but you still have a problem. So when Jesus comes along, and he, in Matthew, I think the sixth chapter it is, it's John, and I'll get there in a minute. Jesus comes along, and he's preaching and teaching, you know, and he's saying, I bring the kingdom of heaven. When I'm here, I bring the kingdom of heaven, and I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures, and I'll read this one, and then I'll go on. In Matthew 11 and 28, and I'm going to read out an Amplified Bible. He says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace. In other words, all of the people who have all these routines and things, that the church has laid on them that don't bring them any closer to God. They don't bring you any closer to God. He says, and I will give you rest, refreshing for your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest, renewal, blessed quietness for your souls. He makes this point. Let's see. Why is it mine? Move that with me. There you go. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. So Jesus says to them, he makes a plea to them directly. And this is what he's saying to everyone today. For all the things that you go through in the earth and all the difficult times that you have, he says, learn about Jesus. Learn about who God is really like. We spend a lot of time learning about our churches. I don't mind saying it. I don't mind who hears it. I don't like going to meetings. The only thing I hear about is you and what you got on your mind and what your plan is. That's not what I came for. I want to know what God's doing. I would like to hear a good, refreshing word about Jesus. I get tired of hearing you preach about your organization.
Yeah.
That's why I stopped going. This is where they were with the Jewish people. They were always preaching about the law and Moses, what the people needed to do, how they needed to go. They told Jesus one time, he and his disciples were coming through the fields, they were hungry, they started eating corn. You know, when I was growing up, little, you know, I grew up in, you know, down in North Carolina, my mom used to grow corn that you could eat. It tastes just as good raw as it does cooked. It tastes the same. You know, we used to just take it and shuck it, just eat it like it was, you know. And this is what Jesus' disciples were doing. And then they got upset and said, well, you didn't wash your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to, you know, it was always something that they could never do. And so the people stopped trying. They stopped trying. Because there was always more. People always tacked on more. You know how folk like to tack on their own agendas? And after a while, it's like a rubber band. You know, you stretch people. Eventually, what happened?
It breaks.
And they just say, okay, I'm done. And then they just leave everything. That's too bad. You know why? Because in the course of leaving everything, many of them leave God. Now, one thing I'd like to straighten out this morning, too, and I want everybody to know, especially if you come to Promise Talk, anybody in God goes, I want everybody here to know that out of all the people's lives that I've known that were in Church of Living God at one time, who left the Church of Living God, there's only one or two of them that really are not in church someplace. And I know the big room is, they're all the way back in the same. That's not true. There's only one or two of them that I say are probably not in church anymore. The rest of them, have gone on in God. And I mean without fail. I can name one or two. Actually, just one. But the rest of them, I only know one that's really just doesn't go to church anymore. Who is that? Doesn't go to church anymore, doesn't whatever. The rest of them, ask me directly. I'll tell you, because I've seen them in the last year or so. So all of these people came to, they would come to where Jesus was, and they were having a difficult time coming to God. Well, you know, this is why Jesus came to Israel first, because he had to get them restored before they get everybody else restored. Okay, if I look back over here. So Jesus told them, he says, come unto me, all you, everybody who's tired of being in church, tired of what's going on, whatever, come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Come, get back to
Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus saved you.
Get back to Jesus. You know, sit down, get back to Jesus. Drop all the protocols and everything. Get back to Jesus. And so he says to them, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden and just, you know, God, you know, you, every time you think you've done one thing right, there's another, and then you got all the taxes and, you know, and all the labors and different things. And he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. In other words, you're just really going through, nothing seems to work out. And I will give you rest. I have an answer. I am the answer. I've got what you're looking for. You shall find rest for your souls. And this is the message we need to get to people. Jesus has what they're looking for. He has the successes that people are looking for. He has the way that they're looking for, a way of things working out. He has the power. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation or bring them out through trials. And God knows how to do that. God knows how to solve the problems that you go through in the earth. And, everybody's in, he knows how to bless you in the process. And just having him, I'll say that again, is a blessing in itself.
Right.
We should have more testimonies of people that stand up saying, I'm so glad the Lord saved me. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm just glad I'm saved. It's been a rough year, but the Lord brought me through, and I thank God that I'm saved. And it wasn't, and it was rough, but God made it smooth. And he worked things out. And go on in God. So he says to them, come unto me. And he makes this point. He makes this point. Go to John 6, chapter. He makes this point. He says, come on, work with me. He makes this point to the people. He says, learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of me. How can I learn of Jesus if you aren't teaching me anything? That's where discipleship comes in. How am I going to learn about Jesus if the only thing you ever talk about is gifts? I love gifts. Don't misunderstand me. We need more of them. You're not going to have gifts unless you learn about Jesus. The gifts come to confirm Jesus is the Son of God. Peter told them in Acts, he says, these gifts that you see working and all these miracles you see, he says, this shows you that Jesus is the right hand of the Father. He says, this proves to you that Jesus is the Son of God. Unless you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then, you know, gifts don't happen. So then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm sorry. And learn of me. We have this mindset that we like to learn about here in John 6 chapter. In John 6 chapter, Jesus feeds the 5,000. And about verse number 6 and 12, it says, "And when they had eaten enough, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover pieces that nothing be lost." Then, during the night, he walks on water. And the next day, about verse number 26, and Jesus said, all the people came to looking for him, you know, about verse number 25. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they boarded small boats themselves and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "I assure you and most solemnly say, you've been searching for me, not because you saw signs and miracles and testing, you know, signs and miracles and testing of who he is, but because you ate the loaves and the fish." In other words, since the only thing you're looking for God for anymore is the blessings. Is the blessings. When the word of God is just is taught, I can always tell when people are spiritual, because when the word of God is taught, spiritual people will say that was a blessing. Mm-hmm. When people are carnal, it's only a blessing if it touched their emotions.
That's right.
That was a blessing.
But we had a good time.
Okay, I'm not saying you shouldn't have had a good time. But there's more to God than just the fishes and the loaves. And he said to them, "You seek me because of the fishes and the loaves." He says, "You're not seeking me because the miracle. So what was the miracle? The miracle was to show you that I'm the Son of God. The miracle was to show you that I'm the bread of life. The miracle was to show you that I'm your Savior. You should be so happy to have found out by eating the fish, by me feeding 5,000 with two fish and 5 loaves of bread, 5,000 men, because they only counted men, plus the women and children, so no telling how many there were. He says, you should have been so happy to find out what, Tekoa? That I'm the Son of God. He said, that's really what you should have been excited about. You should be excited when you read the Word of God and it says great things have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You should be so glad to find out the blessings of the Lord make it the rich and happy. You should be so glad to find out about how good God is and how great Jesus is. And this is why Jesus said to them, he said to them, all y'all got on the boat came over here, but you didn't come because I'm the Son of God. Came because of you like the blessings. You like watching the people dance, and you like doing all the things they do. You get excited when certain people get up, although they might say nothing. But you're a fan, and you like them. So when they get up, you get excited. But you're not showing up because we're talking about Jesus. So when someone just talks about Jesus, I know that. I heard that. But the excitement's not there. Even when you read this passage, you should get excited. He said, you didn't come and find me because of the miracle that showed that I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. I'm your Savior. I'm deliverer. That's not why you came. You came to eat.
Yep.
You just want to be blessed. And so when he went ahead, said, "I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I bid you." So they said to him, they asked him down 28. Well, what are we to do so that we may habitually or always be doing the will of God? What is the will of God? And Jesus says, for you, the work of God is simply, you need to learn to believe. Discipleship. We need to teach people about Christ so that they do what? Believe. They need to learn to believe. This is the work. that you learn to believe, adhere to, trust, rely in, have faith in the one whom he has sent. And in other words, they said, what do we need to do today? What are we supposed to get out of all this basis together? He says, you're supposed to. The miracle was designed to get you to know that the Savior is here and the Deliverer is here, and to get you to know that I'm the Son of God. That's why you're being blessed. You're not being blessed to prove that Bishop Smith was called. The purpose of the miracle is not for you to believe that you're in the right place at the right time. It's, so, well, if Jesus is blessed, aren't you in the right place at the right time? Yes. But you're reading the subline. You need to read the topic. You're in the right place at the right time to do what? To learn more about Jesus. The miracle came so that you know that Jesus is the Son of God. The miracles in Acts came about by the Holy Spirit so that they would know that Christ is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for them, so that they know that he is risen. That's what people have to learn. That you need Christ like this. You know, why do we have the story of Job in the Bible? Job loves God no matter what. Because no matter what happens in Job's life, God doesn't stop being God, and Job always needs God. We, all of us, have to learn that no matter what happens in life, we never stop needing God. We never stop needing Christ. We never stop needing Jesus. So when people come, we have to, as quickly as possible, teach them about Christ. And for all of us that are here, we need to learn more about Christ. Until we do the work. And what is the work? To learn to believe on the one that God has sent. That's the work. That's what we're for. So Jesus says to them, take my yoke, or in other words, join with me. When you're yoked together, you're joined together. And unto this, they belong to the temple. He says, and the temple is wearing them out. Wearing them out. What time is it? And what are we supposed to say? It's Jeremiah's ending time. No, it's time for you to learn about Christ. Time for you to learn about Christ. It's time for you to make up your mind about Christ. Oh, I'm not knocking on them. You'll go there. But it will, here's the point. If I learn about Christ and go there, that's good. If I go there and don't learn about Christ, that's bad. Someone was just preaching recently. I heard a sermon recently. Someone right in Gulf Coast, and they were saying, you can tell the difference. He says, what's the point of, he made the point, I say it all the time. You can't stay saved just showing up at a journal assembly.
Yes, sir.
Well, you can't. You got to give God more time than that. That's not it. You do better if you came to church every Sunday when journal assembly came around. If you couldn't afford it, not go. You can stay saved better by going to your local church all the time than you can by going to journal assembly once a year. And that doesn't matter to me. I'm not telling anybody not to go. I'm just telling you the truth. Have you seen so-and-so? No, they ain't coming. But they say they coming to the general assembly. Why?
Yeah.
If you don't love the Lord enough
That's right.
To spend any more time in him than once a year, well, I'm just going, I need to go see everybody.
Fellowship.
I need God. And then if you happen to be where I am in the general assembly at the same time, then so be it. Everybody be happy. But the bottom line is, Jesus has said to them, yeah, you went home full yesterday and you weren't hungry, but you missed the point. It wasn't about the fishes and the loaves. It was supposed to get you to know who I am. I am the bread of life. And then they turn around and said, well, you're not the first person who multiplied food. Moses fed them for 40 years. And he says, no, Moses didn't feed them. My father fed them. He says, my father did that. You know how people like to attribute God's miracles to people?
Yeah.
So-and-so did it. So-and-so is a miracle worker. No, God's a miracle worker. And that he uses them, thank God for that. And we give them, and we'll give them honor for being somebody that God will honor. But don't ever forget the miracle comes from God. Power belongs to God. That's why some people aren't healed, and that's why some aren't delivered. Power belongs to God. Always remember, power comes from God. The Spirit moves in behalf of God. It doesn't move because of me. I can never make the Spirit move. The Spirit moves when God says so. The way it works. So then they say to him about verse number, Jesus tells him, I came down from heaven. They're learning more about it. Going on in God. I want to jump all the way over now to John. I want to go back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. This woman at the well. Woman at the well. The woman at the well. About verse number 7. We'll start there. Then a woman came from Samaria to draw water. I don't ever want to hear anybody, if you ever want me to close my Bible on you, start talking about this woman came to the well for any reason other than drawing water. Because the Bible specifically says she came for one reason and one reason only, to draw water. And I've heard people talk about, well, you know, they flirt around the well, and women come to the well to meet men. I got news for you. Men didn't come to the well. Only women came to the well. So when people get off and launch off and all those, their mind is someplace else. I don't care who it is. She came to get water. The Bible says she came to get water. Anybody got a King James Version open? You got a King James Version open? What does verse say? Verse 7 say.
There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water.
Yes. That's Amplified. I want to make sure they get... Oh, you have King James. Okay. Thank you very much, Sean. Yeah. She came for what reason?
To draw water.
What was her reason?
To draw water.
How do we know?
It says so.
Because it says so. You don't even have to guess. You know, she had five husbands. I heard so much junk preached. So why do people preach junk? Because it's entertaining. And then you want to sit around and talk about people with itching ears. That's what itching ears are. You love to hear dirt. This woman came to the well for what reason? It's the only thing on her mind. And the water's heavy. And I got to take it back to town. It's a burden. Say, how much of a burden is it? It's really a burden because later on down here, she says, hey, you know, tells her, if you get this water, you don't have to come back and draw it. What I've got, you don't have to keep drawing over and over again. She comes and she meets Jesus. And then the woman of Samaria says, how is it that thou being a Jew asketh me for drink, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. So Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knowest the gift of God, who it is that said to thee, give me drink, thou wouldst have asked him, and he would have given you living water. If you knew God's gift, eternal life, and who it is that give me drink, you would ask him instead, and he would give you living water. If you knew what Jesus is offering, if you spend more time with Jesus, learning about Jesus, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Find out that when you need him, you go, when you pray to the Father, that Jesus is the one that intercedes. Find out that your sins are forgiven because Jesus shed his blood. Find out that there's a way out because Jesus made a way out. Let it be a mind that you have that if God can raise Jesus Christ from the dead, not only raise him from the dead, but into immortality, let it also be that there's no situation that I fall into that God cannot fix. And when it looks like it's dire and you're desperate, then you need to always remind yourself, if the resurrection is true, then anything else God needs to do for me, He can do. But if you're not strong in the resurrection, but you're always just looking for, you're going from place to place, because this one's here, I need a miracle. This one's here, I need a miracle. When are you going to start looking up there for a miracle? When is that going to happen? And I believe in asking people to pray for you. But remember where their prayers are going. If their prayers aren't going up there, then they're not praying for you either. Because the power is going to come from
up here.
Thank you. Always. Power belongs to God. So this woman, Jesus says to her, if you knew discipleship, if you knew more about me, if you knew more about me, you would be asking me for living water. If you knew more about me, if you knew who I am, why do we not pray more? We don't know who He is. Why are men on the earth able to take whole congregations of people and lead them into Jonestown and all the places in between? Because you don't know who Jesus is. If you know who Jesus is, you know when someone is not leading you in the right direction.
Yes, you do.
But you focus on them. And you get this mindset, well, do you know about Jesus? Huh? I ain't worried about Jesus. I'm following the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's the mindset people have.
Yeah.
But what about, hey, I ain't worried about that. I'm following so-and-so. So Paul writes in the Bible one place, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. And people get hung up on that. I follow so-and-so, and they follow Christ. That is not what Paul is saying. When he says, follow me as I follow Christ, in other words, he says, do the things that I do that are the right things in Christ. He doesn't mean, get behind me and don't worry about it. I'll follow Christ, you'll be all right. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, as I do the things that are in Christ, you do the same thing. Follow me in this. As I'm following Christ, learn this about me. How to follow Christ. We could all say that. Follow me as I'm following Christ. In other words, if you're going to do anything like me, do the things that I do that are like
Christ.
You get the point? Hey, if you're going to watch me do things, watch how I follow Christ. And do that. That's his point. No, y'all all get behind Paul, and we ain't got to worry about nothing. We're behind Paul. Wherever he goes, we. That's not what he's saying. Watch me follow Christ, and you do that. That's what you need to follow after. So this woman says to Jesus, he says, if you knew who it was, if you knew who I am, that I'm the Son of God, and if you knew something else, what else did Matthew? If you knew what it means to have living water, if you understand what living water is and what life-giving water is, if you understand the life that I have, the life that I'm able to give, because remember now, Jesus is introducing himself as the Messiah and as the Christ who's come from God. He's meeting the people as the Son of God, but it isn't that the people have never heard of the Messiah. They know what Christ is supposed to do. That's why the miracles are supposed to prove to them that He is Christ, because they know that when He comes, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He is anointed me to give. In other words, to heal the brokenhearted. Isaiah wrote that 800 years before Christ ever showed up. So when he comes and says, I'm the one who is talking about, immediately
all the things that Isaiah, Ezekiel, and all of them said about him, the branch that Zechariah talks about, all the things they talked about, this one person is the same person. He is the Messiah. He's the Christ. It's not multiple personalities like the Romans have. He's one person. And when they find out that this is him, then all these things are true. All these things come with him. He's Christ.
He's the Christ.
So he tells this woman, "When you, if you knew who you're talking to, if you knew who I am, you'd be asking me to help you. Not me helping, not me asking you to help me." She tells him, when he says, "Give me some water," he says, "I can't give you water." She says, "You don't even have anything to draw with." He says, "Hey, you know, it's not this water I'm talking about." So then she goes on after she does this, and you go down about verse number 13. Jesus says, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon be thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling stream, or a stream of living water bubbling up in them, giving them eternal life." Brings that in. Then he starts to use the gifts. Everybody say what I just said. Then he starts to use the gifts. Which gift is he using?
Word of knowledge,
word discernment. More word of knowledge. And he tells her about her life. Never met this lady. Why does he tell her about her life? He tells her this so that she will know that it is not a natural thing and it comes from God. Because she says, "I perceive you are a man of God." The gift is used to bring people to God. This is Jesus speaking. And he wants her to know about God. He's just told her about eternal life. Living what eternal life. What does he need her to do now? Believe that. And the gift comes. And he starts to tell her about it. Well, what does it do? She says, then the woman goes back into Samaria, about verse number 25. She tells my little disciple, the spider's coming. And let's see. Yeah, it's 25. And when that one comes, he tells her everything in the. Okay, he tells her, he's speaking to her. I want to get down to the last part. Oh, verse 29. Then she runs back into the city and says, "Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. And can this be the Christ of the Messiah?" So the people come out and they meet Jesus. And then there's joy in the city, and then it goes on. So why do you use this? My point is this woman gets to know who Jesus is. And the joy comes because she finds out who Jesus is. Why do people not have great faith in Jesus? The answer is they have no more faith than they know him.
That's so true.
They have no more faith than they know him. Go to Romans 10th chapter. They have no more faith than they know him. And then I have one more scripture in Ephesians. And we'll probably be done for the day. Romans chapter 10. And I can stop in 5 also for the, where he says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. I'll start in. I like. Let's start in 5. Because he's dealing with people who know Moses. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doeth those things shall live by them. For Moses writes that a man who practices righteousness which is based on the law with all its intricate demands shall live by it. In other words, if, you know, it's not new to anybody in here. I'm not crazy about law keepers.
I don't mean I want people who are unlawful or who are disobedient. I'm not referring about in that regard. I'm referring to people who never let the Spirit move. It's always something says this. You know, I can say someone wanted. I'm a bishop in this jurisdiction, and if I say we want to do such and such, someone will say, "Is that in the bylaws? Is it written down someplace?" And if they can't see it,
can't believe it.
Yeah, it's in the bylaws. And what it says. But they have this mindset about everything. They think, you know, haven't gotten to the point yet where they, if you read, for example, Malachi when it says, "Well, a man robbed God. You robbed me when you haven't paid your tithes and offerings." You go to talk about money, and you come really fixated on money. The point of what Malachi is writing, he's talking about supporting the work of God. Because it's not just money that you're going to get back. He'll rebuke the devourer for your sake.
Yeah.
He'll make sure you're fruitful. He'll make sure the devil doesn't kill your crop off. It goes on and on. But we never use it beyond talking about money. It's a good scripture for tithes and offerings because that's what it specifically says in it. But where the Spirit is leading us to is a willingness to support the house of God. Bring ye all into the storehouse that we may be able to function in my house. And if you know the Old Testament times, the reason why it says because there'll be groceries in my house, meat in my house, groceries, same thing, because meat didn't just mean flesh. It also meant flour and things. Because the priests and all of them had to labor. That was their labor all the time. So the correlation of today is, might say, well, what if we pay? And it goes on. But you get my point? So when Jesus is talking to them, they always go back to Moses and the law. And Jesus says, well, the person who is a law keeper, he says, you know, right, if your righteousness is by the law, he says, then you have to make sure you do all that. You know, if you're the kind of person who can go through the church and say, I do this, I do this, I do this, and I'm right. He says, then you have to make sure you always do that. He says, but the righteousness based on faith, which produces a relationship with God, in other words, righteousness that is of faith, the righteousness of faith speaking on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend up to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. In other words, stop going into all the, you know, wherefore, you know, how do we get here? How do we get there? And he's being a little bit of overkill when he says, who's going down to bring him up? He says, but what says it? The word is not the even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe thy heart that God the Father hath raised him, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, if you add anything else to that, it's you. Because the Word of God says, quite frankly, if I believe, if I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, I believe that. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it, and believe my heart that God has raised him from the dead. I believe in Christ being the Son of God, and I believe in the resurrection. Then my Bible says that is enough to save me. And then I grow from there. Now you can add in all the other things you want to add. But this is as much as the Bible says. It starts there. There. And then if you go on and the Spirit moves through your gifts and you fill and you become a preacher, whatever you become, it all starts right there. And anybody who walks in this church today or any other day, if they believe, now here it is too, and then you want to talk about, well, I don't know if they got it or not. That's not, it ain't about, it didn't say that I need to sit here and do that. It says, if they believe in their heart that God the Father has raised him from the dead. Now, that's up to you whether you believe or not. It's up to you. I don't need to make a whole sermon about it. It's just a walk up. The Bible says, if they believe in their heart. That's up to you. If Jenkins don't believe in her heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that's her problem. But if she says she does, then who am I to say that she doesn't? If the masses believe that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead, the Lord will save you. Just as simple as that. And if he doesn't, then that's just, if he comes up, cries and weeps and howls, but really doesn't believe it, just wants an offering, that's all him. But if he does what the Bible says do, saints of God, we gotta start letting the Bible, let the Word of God dwell in us richly. If you do what the Bible says do, then what God says will be the result of it is what you get. And none of us is capable of saying, well, but you gotta also. No, no, no. Just do what the Bible says. And this is what Jesus meant when he says, take all these burdens that the people are trying to add on you and just take mine and learn of me and how to be saved. So he says in the last part of this, and then I'm going to Ephesians. Verse number, oh, yeah. 18, I think it is. Yeah, there you go. 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord in prayer, will be saved. The masses, can you read what it says on the screen in 13 up there? What does it say? That's what it says. Do you believe that? Yes. Whoever believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and believes that God the Father has raised him from the dead, when you call on him and say, save me, what about you? Shall be saved. And that's hard for a lot of us Pentecostal people to get. We want to make it. You got to tarry. You got to speak in tongues. You got to do this. You got to do we just got all these. It's got all these things. It is true that many things come that as you learn of Christ, many things come in your life. That is true. You give up many things, hopefully. And the Lord delivers you from many things, hopefully. But we're talking about right now the sinner who walks in with everything that he's got in his life and asks God just to flat out right, save him. You didn't come down here and ask God to make you a bishop. You just ask him to save you. You didn't come ask him to make you a preacher. You just ask him to. Oh, God. Forgive me of all my sins and make me an apostle. That's not what you ask. You just ask him to. Take my yoke upon you. What is and? It's a conjunction. Take my yoke upon you. And now learn of me. And you'll find out that it's not hard being saved like you thought it was. And get away from people who make it hard to be saved.
Amen.
Get away from the people who unsave you every time they preach.
Amen.
I don't see nothing in your life. I don't think you got nothing. Who cares what you think?
That's right. I don't care.
I sit right there saying to myself, I can't help what you think.
Nope, sure
can't. Think all you want. You ain't going to unsave me.
Today.
I know what I believe. I tell you what you did do. This book is laying on my lap and it's still open, but in my mind, I've just closed my Bible on you. You decide. You're going to tell me
whether or not I believe in God or not, and believe that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead, because I don't fit what you think, Pharisee?
Right.
Not today. I'll sit here, and when everybody else stand up, I might even stand up with them, but I guarantee you, I checked out way back there a while ago. And while everybody else is throwing handkerchiefs and running around the floor and doing everything else, hey, you know what? All I'm doing is waiting for you to say, may the Lord watch. Because I'm done. You can say whatever else you want to, but you lost me. Way back there when you tried to make me not be. That's right. I'm not going to let you do that. So he says in this, everyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be, will be saved. How shall they call on him to save them? Lest they believe in him.
That's right.
How then should they call on him in whom they have not believed? Unless they believe in him. So what's the first thing we got to do? In disciples, can I preach about Jesus? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? In other words, how are people going to believe in God if you don't tell them about God? How are they going to believe in Christ if you don't tell them about Christ? How are they going to believe on somebody they've never heard of? Why do you think it's necessary when Jesus feeds the 5,000, then he has to come back and say, they said, we just want more food. You're a prophet. He says, no, I'm the Son of God. Now he has to educate them on who he is. Last scripture today, Ephesians 4. And I know this, Ephesians 4, oh, yeah, we know that scripture. Not the part that I'm going to do. Ephesians 4. And about verse number 017. Ephesians 4 and 17. He tells him at 16, he tells him that he can grow up, and he says, this I say therefore and testify to the Lord. This I solemnly affirm together with the Lord, he says, that you no longer live as unbelieving Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds and in the foolishness and the emptiness of their souls. When you come to Christ, there needs to be a change in your life. In other words, you know, don't come to the Lord with the intent that nothing in your life is going to change. He says, the reason why you have Christ and the reason why, you know, if you like to read Ephesians 4, and I love it, because he says, the reason why you keep getting tossed all over the place, you come to church for 6 months, then you backslide. You come to church for a year, then you quit. You belong to this church over there, you thought you found it. You had joy and happiness, and then you left that. Then you come over here. This is the place I need to be. I've been looking for it all my life. And then you go over here. Oh, that's the place I need to be. I was over there, but I need to be over here. You keep going. You're tossed to and fro all over the place. Everywhere. You know, you turn on TV, you watch one preacher for a while, and he's just a person. Then you find somebody else new. Now you're really hooked on this one. It's all about him, all about that. Tossed to and fro. Every time you look up, something different. He says, for their understanding is darkened, and their reason is clouded and alienated. In other words, he says, they don't know much about God. He says, self-banishing the life of God, which means that with no sharing, they're not a part of God. Who being cast, filling up, giving themselves over to lasciviousness and more evil. Go down to 20. Working all uncleanness with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. Saints of God, are you seeing the importance of learning about Christ? But you didn't learn Christ in this way. Why you have to come to Bible studies, why you come to Christian education, it's why you read your Bible. Don't confine yourself to only ever reading the memory verses given to you, the text is given to you. And it can get so bad. Say, how bad can it get? It can get so bad that you can be so indoctrinated by being led into that, you will be afraid to read something else. You'll be afraid to preach something else. You'll be afraid to teach something else.
That's right.
I gotta stay right here.
You'll be afraid to even read the rest of the scriptures around what you're reading. You'll never grow. You only grow as much as whoever's leading you will allow you to grow.
That's true.
And if they are competitive and don't plan on you ever growing any more than them, they're going to limit you. And if you let them do that, that's your fault.
That's right.
Yes, it is. And they love you not having a great sermon because they know they can always outpreach you.
Right.
And they love for you not to have so much word because they know they can always keep you spellbound. So he says in this, you didn't learn this from Christ. He says 21, if so be that you've heard of him, in fact, you have really heard him and have been taught by him, just as the truth is in Jesus, revealed in his life, personified in him, in other words, that regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self completely, discard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having your flesh refreshed, untarnished, mental and spiritual attitude. I like the way that's written. In other words, he says, you need to learn of Christ. Put on the new person. How are you going to do that if you don't know anything about him?
Right.
How are you going to learn anything about him if you're someplace where people never read the Word of God?
Right.
Just the verses that show you what they want you to do. When we do things for the jurisdictional meeting and all those places. So, Bishop, how do you choose a thing? I choose a thing with the idea of what would the Lord like to see, in what direction would the Lord like to see the jurisdiction grow, but even more so, what does the jurisdiction need? What does it need? This jurisdiction might not need what Northeast needs. The people in this jurisdiction, the Lord is dealing with them one way. Same word, same God, same. That's like saying in every church, the same sermon is to be preached to everybody at the same time. No, the Spirit deals with the people that are there.
That's right.
He deals with the people he's with. He expects me to look and see what the people need, you know, because I'm a gift to them, you know, and I'm supposed to be able to give them a blessing when they come. What this jurisdiction needs right now from where they are, every jurisdiction might not need to talk about it, but this jurisdiction needs to talk about humans.
Yes, sir.
Because it's difficult trying to work things out together when everybody's going in different directions. So when he says about this, learn of me, and I want to go down a little bit further, therefore rejecting all about verse number, I'm going to read this in King James, wherefore putting away your lying, speak every man truth this day, when you see that, be angry, sin not, give no place to the devil, let him still scold no more, no corrupt communication. You see all those? To call those are teaching you to be like Christ. That's what that's all about. That's what separates you from the old person that he talked about earlier that had a lifestyle that they didn't learn of Christ. This is what makes you godly. This is the part where if you don't get this part, you will be an 80-year-old person dancing all night long who still is mean as a snake. If you don't get this part, you'll be a 60, 70-year-old person who still doesn't know where peace is. And when you get up to preach, you'll rebuke more than you will encourage. If you don't get this part, your personality will never change from the person that he talked about earlier. And you will have that burden. You'll never grow in God and learn to, back where I started, you'll never learn to love God. You'll just love what God gives. And your faith will be weak and you'll be spotty. You'll come sometimes, sometimes not. You'll trust God sometimes, sometimes not. But you'll never get to the point where the Lord would have you to be if you don't get this part. Because Jesus says, this is what you're supposed to learn. This is how, when you read this, when you go back and read the Gospels, this is in Ephesians. When you go back and read the Gospels, what you see here describes Jesus' personality. What was Jesus like? What does he expect us to be like? Put on the new man. Become someone greater in God. Be able to go on in God. Put on a new man. Why does the new you look so much like the old you? Why can't we tell the difference in the new you and the old you? The co-op got a brand new Benz. Drove it to church this morning. Did you see it sitting out there? How do you like it? What does it look like? Huh? Does it look new or old? Tell the truth without lying. Huh? Does it look new or old? Yeah. Sister Kim, I got a brand new Benz. That's what it looks like. What does it look like out there? Look like the old one, doesn't it? You have a hard time thinking it's new, don't you? No, y'all can be honest. Get the point.
Right.
The master tells the truth.
Young version of Ella Austin.
What's she talking? Who's a young version of Ella Austin?
That's a young version.
That is not a young version of Ella Austin. That's Sister Gamble.
I know it's Sister Gamble.
Yes, and it is Sister Gamble for Sister Gamble. And God sees Sister Gamble as Sister Gamble. She doesn't have to be a version of anybody. She's Sister Gamble and God.
Yeah.
We're going to stop all that.
Okay.
We're going to stop all that. That is Sister Gamble. She will be who she is in God.
Oh, yes.
Now, when I bring up the example out there, my point is, that is my old car.
Yes.
It's 12 years old. But if I come up to you and say you it's new, you will say to me, looks like the old one to me. Isn't that what you'd say?
Yes.
Well, if you're not renewed in God, you know what we'll say?
Looks like the old
one to me.
Yes.
They say they're new, but they look like the old one. Yeah, they do. And this is his point. Put on a new you so that it doesn't look like the old one. That's right. It's not supposed to look like the old one. I have a hard time. You would say he must be awfully stupid if he bought that car out there, if he thinks that's brand new. What's wrong with him? Everybody would know. That's what it's like when you don't grow in God.
That's true.
Everybody knows. You're saying, hey, I'm a new preacher in God, and I thank God. And so forth, and everybody's saying, look like the same old person to me. Still getting mad, still doing this, still doing that, or whatever. Take my yoke upon me, everybody standing. You don't have to be anybody in the earth. And God, you are who you are in God for yourself. God has an anointing for you. God has a blessing for you. Individually. Be who you are in God. And go on in God. You know why I stopped that? And I think it deserves the clarity, doesn't it, Elizabeth? Because I like somebody, that doesn't mean that everybody else likes the same thing in their mind. Because I find somebody really great, that doesn't mean everybody else. So I can't just say, you're going to be so-and-so. That person doesn't appeal to you. That's not encouraging. But if I tell you, you're going to be somebody in God, that's all we're going to do. You're going to be who you are in God. Corey's going to be who she is in God. You don't have to look at anybody else and say, well, I'm going to be them. No, you're not going to be them. You're going to be who you are in God. The master said, look at me and anybody else. I'm going to be like you. You're going to be who you are in God. That's who you want to be. And then what you want to be is somebody who's great. That's what you want to be. Let's lift our hands. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your great grace. Lord, we thank you for your love and kindness and your forgiveness. Thank you for the people, God, all that they are of, God. Lord, we ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, for all those who need a healing today, Lord, grant it, my God. Minister Keisha's soul. Lord, Ella, Johnny Thompson, Ella Rogers, all those, Lord, I thank you for touching them.
I want to work that out. In the name of Jesus, all those, Lord, who need healing in their bodies, Lord, by your spirit, by your power, Jesus. Heal them in Jesus' name. Lord, all the young people that are here today, Lord, I pray that you bless them, oh God. Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, this eating disorder bothers Timaeus. Lord, say to the Lord, rebuke him. Loose him in Jesus' name. Lord, all the young people, Lord bless them in the name of Jesus. Bless this church and add to it. Lord, bless us in the word of God and in the spirit of God. And Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, I pray that you bless everybody who's on Zoom this morning. We'll give you honor. We'll give you praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people now say amen. Praise on your glory. Thank God for this service. We'll be back on Tuesday. Glorifying God and the word of God. If you have an offering, please give the elder me. Lord, bless the offering in Jesus' name. Bless it up, help you in the name of Jesus Christ.